represented by Palmer. So what happened to the deal?
Well, you know, it seems to me that a lot of things that they say never do come through. And Paul Marcel has told me at least 5 or 6 different times that, yeah, we're going to get another porta potty, or yeah, we're going to get a water tank, or yeah, we're going to do this, and yeah, we're getting another van. And, you know, none of this stuff has ever showed up. And I just kind of think that, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You put it out of mind, and you don't think about it because you can't see it anymore, and you forget about it. And I think that's one of the ways he gets rid of the problem.
Do you have specific instances? You mentioned some sort of specific thing as you spoke about promises that were made and not kept.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I just mentioned 3 of them, and just like you said, you know, there was a promise that he'd discuss it with us. He discussed the campground staying open until a certain time. There's a flood level. The flood level never hit yet. And even the flood level, we have higher ground right here. So as far as many days and the people that want to stay here, he just came in and blatantly said the opposite. So this, you know, continually happens. And, you know, you look at the fact that he can come in with the police and have everybody evicted. So whatever he says doesn't really matter because he can just change it instantly with police.
Has he often brought the police in here? What's the story been with the police? You, in fact, even escorted off the property with police.
Yeah, I got 155 names for me to stay here because of this obnoxious staff member who continually brings diverse conversation and terrible words. Last time, it seems like every Sunday he goes to pick up the pizza in the truck. And he yells out, let's see, this Sunday it was hippies go home, last Sunday it was help the helpless.
So, in other words, you had a dispute with a staff member, you were told you couldn't come back to the property for 2 weeks and escorted from the property by the police. In essence, however, as I understand it, that dispute, which we've mentioned on Free Radio Santa Cruz before, and that was in, I guess, October or November, had to do with trying to break up a fight between somebody else and somebody else.
Okay, I'm up to 32 fights now that I've stopped. And it seems like the staff members want to see people get hurt. And they say, well, this is karma, they deserve it, and this and that. Well, they've just started again with this to me. And I say no to it. And being a background...
How started again? What happened to it?
Well, just in this last week and a half, they want to see people get their just desserts. It's a back 40 justice that some people deserve and some people don't. But I don't, you know, coming from a place where I studied natural medicines in the early 70s and got into a Sadhguru from India, so I became, I consider it priestly because of how many years and how many hours of dedication I put to it. I just don't want to see violence around me. I grew up in a violent household. And I think the violence is over. California demands violence to be over, but it seems like there's a back 40 justice here.
Now, let me ask you, Ben, in the last week and a half, you said you've encountered more problems with some staff members again or not?
Oh, yeah, Jeff alone. We had one person who was drunk over here, and he wanted to go take his bicycle out where he'd get a ticket, and I stopped him from going out the front of the gate. And he had his guitar on. I'm telling him, you're falling, you're going to ruin your guitar, you're going to get a ticket. And Jeff goes, yeah, you're going to get a ticket. Well, as I took his bike, and he says, don't let anybody take your bike. I mean, this man was ready for me to take his bike back here, and Jeff is obviously stopping, again, the flow of the situation to have this guy's bike locked up so he don't get tickets. And it seems like whatever happens, Jeff wants to have the opposite happen. He's just a pain in the ass. And
so there's a problem with the particular member, and
it's not me, it's everybody. Nobody likes him. Uh-huh. You know, it's a big situation like that. Why he's here, I have no idea.
Well, what about the rest of the folks who are here? Are we likely to, what are people interested in doing? I know I've come to sleep out here because people are being threatened with eviction. I don't feel they should close down this campground, and there are some people who apparently want to resist that by staying here anyway. You never can tell what they're going to do. If we make a big enough concern about the matter and show the needs clearly enough, the rest of the community may rally behind us. Who knows? I'm not terribly optimistic, but it's also a matter of principle. What about yourself? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think once we start to call out the weak here that really can't stay in this type of rain, the rest of the people are going to fall in that are getting stronger now. I can see so many more tents up and done much better. And I think these are going to be the hardcore people the next day or so. If it gets clear, we're going to get some of the old people back out of the armory, setting their stuff up, who don't know how to spike tents down, don't know how to put tarps over the top to hold it down. There's just a lot of things that people have to know about and go through a lot of rains. I've been through, last year I went through 2 weeks solid, one out of northern Arizona, then I went to Cougar Hot Springs, and both of them were 2 weeks of rain with 3 to 5 inches of snow that I had to pack out at both places.
Of course, this will become academic because police have declared that they are going to be, you say Karen Gillette has said that she's the head of the Homeless Community Resource Center. The police will be called to ticket people within a day or two if they're still here with their tents. So my question is, do you think people have enough of a community here to, A, stand together and say to the police, well, I guess you're going to ticket us, and possibly even confiscate their stuff or demand that they leave with it? Are they going to hang together as a community here and possibly go to another spot if the Citizens Committee tries to lock this area off? Or come back to this spot anyway?
Well, I know last time when they were starting to close, I already had almost 20, 25 people with me to go out into the woods, and I had to run 3 different sections out in the woods to show people where to go. And
that was in November, right?
That was in November. And in fact, the length of time that it took me to connect with the people who had been out in the woods and have my stuff here, it seems like that was just enough time for them to see that there would be a problem in the woods, and they did keep the place open. So I think that hanging out here and holding this place is well worth for the people that need something close to town, who don't want to live in the woods. For me, I'd rather live in the woods.
Well, Mr. McGinley, you want to conclude with, because I know I'll be coming back to you again, I'm going to start roaming the campground. There's a frozen looking camper right there with a cup of coffee in his hand. Looks like a Dragon's Heart Dan. Anything else you want to say?
No, I just hope that as bad as things look, that it's not taken that bad. I mean, we did get hit with 80 miles an hour wind. People do have their stuff back together. Some of them won't ever be able to recuperate. And there will be losses, and I don't see a government coming in here with any funds and saying, hey, we're going to help you homeless people. I don't see it. So what I see is that give the people what they want.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And that was Camper Mushroomic, one of the representatives of the campground and a mainstay out there who has spoken with a couple of days ago. You're listening to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, The Final Seconds. I'm with Skidmark's Bob Duran, who has invaded the studio. Oh, well, I better turn up his mic, yes. Of course.
Yes,
that's a slight... A slight oversight. I hear my voice bouncing off that damn thing over there. Well, Skidmark's Bob usually has a news show, but he missed his news show, and now he wants to come and take the rest of the time away from me. Well, see about that, man. Hey! Actually, no, I got to go pretty quick, but I wanted to take this opportunity to ask Bob a question or two. He's a real hard man to pin down. He's often on the streets himself.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I was late.
Why were you late, Bob?
Officer Dennison decided to pull me and my friends over because we can't afford a camper shell right now, and my friends had to ride in the back. Well, he pulled us over for Riders in the Back.
Riders in the Back.
One of them being Feel Free, of course.
Feel Free in the Back.
And then he comes and finds out that my child doesn't have a car seat. Well, there's three of us in the front seat because we live up in the woods and there's only one way to get down from there. We can't afford a car seat.
Child without a seat and the Riders in the Back.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. So then he gives my friend Spirit a ticket for... not having the child restraints on there. And then we said, well, where can you get them? And then he said, well, you get them anywhere. They're giving away free everywhere. And I said, no, they don't. I haven't heard of any of that. You know, I work at a radio station. No one tells us about these things. You know, no one gives away free car seats that I know of, that I've heard of. I've worked in the homeless community, in the poor community quite a bit, and I haven't heard about it. And So he gives us a ticket for without having a car seat in the car, and so now we have to spend money on the car seat ticket rather than spending money on the car seat. So that's why I'm late.
I
coming
see.
Here for your
so it's Officer Dennison's fault.
Yes.
I see. Thank you, Officer Dennison, for giving Bathrob Spears broadsides the extra time it so desperately needed. Well, you also have been on the street slide, and you've heard tell of harassment of musicians, and apparently even a nighttime panhandling ticket. Is that true?
Yeah, last I heard, some Indian American man was given panhandling, asking for change after dark. I don't know exactly who it was. I'm trying to find out who. But someone was given a ticket for asking for change after dark, which, you know, of course they don't give it to anybody who, you know, who's an activist or something. You know, I sing songs about spare change after dark, and they don't arrest me. They just arrest me for disturbing the police. Oh, excuse me, peace.
Peace, please. Well, what about the latest ticket you got for...
riding? No.
That is the latest ticket. What about the previous ticket you had for Mary Toons at Woolworth and apparently in competition with the Starvation Army?
Oh, yeah. Well, Starvation Army wasn't there that night. It was my birthday on December 2nd. And I was playing some music, and a certain person, supposedly a citizen, later said he was a police officer.
Right.
Actually, we have a witness in the studio, Dragon's Heart Dan. You were watching this whole thing.
And he saw basically the cop or this person come up and file a complaint against me. You want to tell everybody?
Yeah, what was really strange about this was the police officer that got out of his car and walked up on the corner, and the police officer that got out of the car didn't know, he wasn't aware of me. And so, as I approached that corner, he got out of his car, and I passed him, and he went around the corner. He stood on the corner, and he just kind of looked around a little bit, just like he was just passing the time, more or less. You know, not really after anybody.
Dan, let me interrupt you because I remember that I actually did interview you on this issue on the air. So if you have some new recollections, that'd be good. But otherwise, I want to talk to the criminal himself and see what actual kind of vicious music he was playing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sure. That's great.
Well, no, you're a good man. In fact, I want you to have the final word in the hour. I think you've been writing down some stuff you want to say on the air, right?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, okay. So, Bob, what? Any?
I'm a criminal.
You are.
I'm a suspect. I'm a criminal.
You're the crooning criminal. We know about you. The crooner. You've been known to appear on street corners with your guitar. So,
well, the song I sang was "Kill a Cop Inside," and it was objectionable to the officer, and so they filed a disturbing of peace, which was actually loud and unreasonable noise, which was a part of the law. There's three different parts of the law. There's fighting words, and then there's, I forget another one, like inciting people to riot or something, which is part of disturbing the peace. But he didn't get me for fighting words, because if it was a police officer, he should not fight, right? So they couldn't get me for fighting words. Or
he'd rather beat than fight.
But, so he got me for loud and unreasonable noise, and I take the whole thing. I'm sure you probably heard it on the radio. Anyway, I went down to the DA's office. No, first I went to the police department to get my police report, which you pay $3 for the first copy, $2 for every copy thereafter. And they said they forwarded it to the DA's office. I go to the DA's office. They say it's under review. Still haven't even decided if they're going to go ahead with the charges. And I said, well, I want police report anyway, and they said, well, it's going to cost you some money, so they're going to charge me for a police report even if they don't go through, which I want to obtain anyway, and read the police report on the air and play the tape afterward, and then you can be the judge as to what happened.
Well, there it is, folks, from the crooner himself, CC, the crooning criminal.
That's only if they don't go through with the charges, because then I can't play that on the air then, because talk about the case out of court.
Oh, all right, right, right.
It's law.
We wouldn't want
to. Oh, yeah, we don't want to break the law here on the radio.
Breaking the law. Now, you said there's also been, you've been doing some cop watches downtown. You actually were, and I first became aware of you as a cop watcher. In fact, I called you, dare I say it, Cop Watch Bob.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I like to do, follow around authority figures with a tape recorder. I was down there last night when they actually, it seems like when I take a tape recorder out, they're a little more precise about what they do, a little more nicer, especially the people on Hippie Corner who they would rather, you know, not be nice to or not have anything to do with. But I guess some gentleman accused somebody of stealing his skateboard from some shop, and
So they got the gentleman, and they got the guy who sold the guy the skateboard, brought them all back, and then the person came and said, yes, it's my skateboard, but I don't want to press charges. So then they kind of resolved the whole thing without anybody going to jail. So that was a nice thing.
The cop watch strikes again, in other words.
Then Officer Brandt, yes, Officer Brandt.
Officer Brandt, my favorite.
He was, there was this woman that was kind of dancing around these officers that were doing the business and everything, and she kind of got a little close to him, and then she went and sat down. Officer Brandt ran over to her and says, you're going to attack a police officer, weren't you? I can arrest you for that. And I've seen that on my show.
Very interesting. So Officer Brandt apparently is a man with a hair trigger.
And an attitude.
Actually, Officer Brandt gave me a ticket, as I mentioned on my show before, and that ticket has reached all the way to Chief Belcher. It was simply a fix-it ticket for a, I think it was, what do you call them, running lights, and he was the wrong ticket to give because the running lights weren't broken. So his sergeant, who was a Sergeant Vogel, I think, came over and said, well, you know, his lights aren't broken, why don't you sign it off? And I said, that's fine as long as there's no court cost involved. Well, I went down to the municipal court window and they said, hey, it costs you $10. I said, no way.
And your time, not to mention.
Not to mention your time. So I took the complaint to Sergeant Vogel because I called Brandt. Brandt refused to sign it. He signed off the ticket, but he refused to dismiss the case. And so then I went to his sergeant, Sergeant Vogel, who was a witness to all this. Sergeant Vogel refused to direct him to dismiss the case. So then I went to his superior, Lieutenant Habey, and Lieutenant Habey refused to direct him. So then I went to Deputy Chief Locke. Deputy Chief Locke refused to direct Lieutenant Habey to direct Sergeant Vogel to direct Officer Brandt to save everybody a lot of time and trouble by dismissing the ticket. So my next move is to go to God herself, Chief Belcher, and see if the chief, I try to be non-sexist in my use of words. Chief Steve Belcher is, in fact, the man who runs the Santa Cruz Police Department, and he will be given an opportunity to correct the mistakes of his subordinates. Otherwise, it's police review board time.
But I saw Steve Belcher this morning coming out of the ID building.
Yes. Out of the ID building.
Ran into him, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
coming out of Stuart Martin's ID building. Uh-huh. Suppressed people throughout the years, especially homeless people. Mm-hmm. And he was walking down the street, da-da-da, passing panhandlers. People are asking him for change. No. So I yelled across the street, yeah, police chief doesn't have any money. No, not at Christmas time, doesn't have any money. So then he kind of looked at me and gave me this kind of smirk, you know, and then kind of got pissed off, so. He didn't say anything, though.
But he didn't run over and kick you in the side as he did Robert Flory when Robert Flory was lying on the sidewalk in, was it February of 1994?
Yeah. Like Officer Dennison and Sergeant, what's his name? Sergeant, the guy that gave me for disturbing the peace. Henning, Sergeant Henning.
Bob Hennig, or Hobo Hunter Hennig, he's called. Actually, we should have a new name for Bob Hennig because we might call him Happy Honcho Hennig for his new breast approach to the prostitutes, kind of wanting to get the breast to the situation. Or perhaps make a clean breast of it. I don't know.
This is a new edition of Free Radio Santa Cruz, a bag on cops half hour.
Yeah. We're attempting to, should we say, unmask the police situation. Actually, I'm gonna have to reluctantly turn the mic over to Skidmark here because I got to go to a Huff meeting, and I'm going to invite all of you to come to the Huff meeting, yes, sir. A Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at Denny's at 2. You're welcome to come and join us. You have to supply your own coffee. I'll put in 50% if you show up. You got to bring in the other 50%. We're talking about demonstrations for Camp Quest Santa Cruz and other ways of supporting the campers out of the campground. I believe that, Dan, do you want to say any parting words before we sign off?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about that corner where everybody gets bothered by the police, you know.
Cathcart and Pacific, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been down there almost every single day since I've lived in Santa Cruz. I go by there, you know, in the evening. Sometimes maybe I get a cup of coffee or a cookie down there in the mall. And almost every time I go there, before I approach to start talking to people or anything, I just stand there and look at what's happening there. And almost every single time that I've been in that corner, there's been a police officer standing there for quite a long length of time. And so I ask myself the question, what is it that these people are doing wrong? And I look around me, and I see, like, for instance, young people, young women and men, hugging each other, joking around with each other, maybe trading things with each other, you know, like their jewelry or whatever. And then maybe somebody's playing a musical instrument, or they're singing, or they're laughing. And it's beyond my imagination that they can on the corner to watch these kinds of things that are supposedly wrong, you know, and ticket people. And I don't see...
Living alternative.
I don't see how the police department can be that overstaffed to bother a bunch of people that are hugging and playing musical instruments when they're supposed to be there for criminals and things.
But do they have their permits, Dan? Hugging without a permit, whop, that's the new...
You get them all the time.
Yeah, well, that's
but
true.
The police department has to be so overstaffed because one day I was standing there was three police officers standing in a corner. There was a host walking down the street, and he stood there for a while. Then they left, and then another two cops came, and they stood there. And I said, wow, that's five police officers and one of these community hosts. And they're watching the people on one corner.
You know, we haven't been giving the hosts enough air time recently. In fact, and I haven't seen them much on the mall. I guess they're down on the downside of the mall where the Cathcart Pacific end of, you don't see many of the hosts, at least I don't, they're down mostly by the theater and such. But we'll be doing a special show on the host, trying to get back to that. And I also remind you, a week from today, Mayor Mike Rotkin will be our special in-studio guest. That'll be at 10 o'clock on Friday, December 22nd. All you critics and all you supporters of Mike Rotkin, get close to your phones. It's going to be 427-3772 on that day. If you want to be on the air on Monday, Monday show may be problematic because I may be in jail. I think they're going to crack down and I may have to...
We can only hope.
Yes, indeed. Keep your fingers crossed. Monday's show may be happening. If it is, you'll be able to hear it, and I encourage you to show up at 9:45 at Taco Bell on Pacific Avenue if you want to be on the show.
He's going to buy breakfast.
And Bob is going to buy breakfast, as he said. That's a really very honest, sweet of you, Bob. You'll be able to come on the 10 to 12 edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadside. I may actually, who knows, maybe I'll exchange shows with somebody else because I'm likely to be in jail at that point. But if I'm not, we'll do the show. And hey, if you got any questions or comments to this show or anything you want put on the air that you cannot, say, be there in person for, give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's 423-4833, anytime in the hours ahead. And we're going to turn the mic over now to the dubious but very distinct and definite Skidmarks Bob Durant. Thank you.
Okay, so free breakfast at Taco Bell, right, Robert? All right, everybody.
Good work, Bob.
We love you, and that's the end of the Bathrobe Spear Show. So, how about some bungo? We're going to San Cruz 96.3.